Hello, and welcome to another edition of Kaleidoscope. This is Magda Zenon, recording from Data Nicosia. And with me in my virtual studio, I have Chris Mavro and Andreas Christodoulou, who are in order. Chris is the Advocacy and Communications Coordinator of Birth Forward and an instrumental part of Respect Watch, which is an initiative that carried on from this respectful maternity care. And Andreas Christodoulou is the Director of Operations of the Cyprus Federation of Patients Associations. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Because this is a really important subject, and because you all have both have quite an impressive CV, let me start with Chris, who you are part of the initiative of Respect Watch. I have recently did a podcast with the Respectful Maternity Care, Ioli and Yota Dunakar. And this is a continuation because it's all well and good doing a project on what is needed in terms of respectful maternity care. But then what do you do when the project ends? And I think that's where Respect Watch comes in.
Mm-hmm, exactly. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm Chris Mavro. I represent Birth Forward, which is a non-profit organization. It's dedicated to improving maternity care in Cyprus. And our mission is to ensure that every woman receives care that is not only safe, but also respectful, evidence-based, and aligned with human rights. So through our work, as you said, Respect and Respect Watch, we collaborate with healthcare professionals, policymakers, and most importantly, the people directly affected by maternity care, who are women, and ensuring that their voices are heard and their rights are upheld. In this mission, of course, we have a lot of synergies, one of them being the Patients Association and my lovely colleague, Andreas.
Okay, I think, Andrea, would you like to take over? Because as Chris said, without... You have to work hand in hand with Respect Watch because patients' rights associations are the body that does the advocacy with policymakers, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly, Magda. So, hello, my name is Andreas Christodoulou, and thank you for having us in this lovely conversation today regarding Respect Watch and also the patient rights in Cyprus. Indeed, the Cyprus Federation of Patient Association represent at the moment 42 members, which Beth Forward is one of our members. And our main mission is the advocacy of the protection of patient rights at all level, and especially in the political level. And that's why the Cyprus Federation, under the 2016 protection of patient rights legislation, we are the social partner of the state regarding any matters that concern patients. And we are in the process of we are in one of the state quarters that we represent patients in the legislation of health in Cyprus and patients in general, as a first comment.
And I'll take it to the comment you made before we started about this. You are not just someone that works for the Cyprus Patients Association. You're actually someone who has been a patient. Mm-hmm. So you come with this, the good and the bad of the system. So you come with real life experience to the work that you actually do. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, of course, exactly. I mean, most of us that we are working or we are volunteers in member organization such with deals with patient rights, either we have a personal experience or we know someone who has an experience in our close family or close circle. For me, my first condition was when I was 16. And it was a chronic cancer-related disease. And then also I was diagnosed in 2020 when I was 30 with Crohn's disease. So, I mean, those experiences make me who I am today. That's why I am in this field and representing patients and representing my rights in this field.
And who better to represent patients' rights than a patient themselves? So I thank you for the work that you do. Chris, tell me a little bit more about Respect Watch, because yours, Respect Watch, was an initiative that followed up from the Respectful Maternity Care Project that is ending now?
Yes, I'd like to put a little concept around respectful maternity care, which is not just an absence of mistreatment. It's about dignity, autonomy, informed choice, and compassionate care during pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. Since you mentioned about Andreas being a patient and upholding patients' rights, I should tell you that Birth Forward is a grassroots organization. We have a parents consulting group that are with us in all the activities so that end users are represented and their voices are heard. So unfortunately, too many women still experience disrespect, neglect, or even outright abuse during childbirth, whether it's through lack of consent, verbal or physical mistreatment, or systemic failures that leave them vulnerable. This is a global issue.
Let's specify that this is not, this doesn't only happen in Cyprus, it's universal.
Actually, it's recognized by organizations like the World Health Organization and the White Ribbon Alliance. So Cyprus is no exception in this. With organizations such as World Health Organization and the White Ribbon Alliance, we emphasize on the urgent need of respectful maternity care. While the principles enshrined in the international human rights instruments include the right to autonomy and informed consent and freedom of inhumane or degrading treatment, they are also formally incorporated into the Cyprus legal framework, where their practical implementation remains, I'd say, at least deficient. So it's important to state that despite the existence of laws and policies intended to safeguard these rights, it remains to be a significant gap between legal provisions and the lived experiences of either patients or women in the healthcare system.
So, I think, sorry to interrupt, I think that's a problem in most legislations that put the legislations that were needed to harmonize us with the EU. The law is there. How do you get the law to be what it should be? How do you implement it? How do you ensure that it, I mean, it, even going more broad than a respectful maternity care, gender equality, the laws are there. Mm-hmm. How do you implement them? How do you ensure that people around actually know what their rights are? And the government also knows, or the system also knows, that these rights are inalienable. It's not a choice. It's an obligation on the behalf of the system to put these systems into place.
Exactly. And this is where Respect Watch comes in. There is a need for systematic monitoring and enforcement of mechanisms to ensure that these legal rights are translated into tangible protections for end users in maternity care settings, and of course in every situation of end users being patients. I don't know if Andreas wants to refer to their watchdog mechanism, because it's one of the good practices that we observed and we got information from. So, yeah.
Andrea?
Yeah, I mean, Chris gave me a really good pass for the to discuss more about the Patients' Right Observatory that the Cypriot Federation of Patient Associations established around 4 to 5 years ago. And the Patient Rights Observatory is a free telephone call number and also an online platform where any citizen can submit any observation or any complaint that he or she has regarding the general health system, and not only limited to the general health system, but the whole health section in Cyprus. And from that,
so sorry to interrupt you, Andreas. Yes. Are you saying what I mentioned to you earlier about being undergoing an angiogram and being in, mm-hmm. because I don't know if you know the system, in an angiogram, you're actually naked and you're covered with that mm-hmm. thing. The fact that I was in there and the doctor was male and there were two male nurses, and I want to emphasize there was nothing untoward happened. I'm not complaining about the specific behavior of others, but the fact that I was a woman mm-hmm. and there wasn't one woman in the room, I find unacceptable.
So
is that something I could actually send to you?
Of course, because it's not just about complaints for any medical justice or medical any other reasons. That you can also set your, let's say, issue that you had with a healthcare provider, but these were happen, and then go back to them and see, listen, we have these complaints, and they get categorized. So if we see that we receive a lot of statement like this from a lot of patients or citizens, so this is something that we as the Cyprus Federation has to work with the other stakeholders and change this and see, because of the categorization of many issues like that. So this is something tangible that we can take to them and say, listen, we have these many complaints or statements from patients regarding this behavior, and then we need to change that.
I think, please, afterwards, if you could give me the link that people can send in through, because I agree with you, I'm not complaining, because mm-hmm. as I said, nothing untoward happened, but it shouldn't happen.
Of course.
Because I'm a confident woman of the city. What happens to an unconfident, mm-hmm. vulnerable woman who's yeah. going to feel a lot more vulnerable if there isn't a woman?
Of course. And we receive a lot of these, we baptize them complaints, but they're not as much as complaints, as statements of human dignity. And yes. yeah, and this is something
okay,
that
so
we
pass
need to
on.
Work, of course.
So pass on, and I'll upload it with the podcast. When I upload it, I'll add the link in, because mm-hmm. I think people need to know that they have a voice, because
of
as
course.
You said, I'm not complaining, it's an observation.
And we
and it's not an observation
free,
that I'm not mm-hmm. alone.
And we have a free helpline regarding that as well.
Oh, good. So please give me the
of
two
course.
And I'll upload them with... is there anything... How long has this helpline and this service been in place? Because I think the fact that people probably don't know that they can...
It has,
give information.
It has been around.
It's also good
for the last 4 to 5 years. At the moment, we are receiving around 50 average complaints per month, and those are also categorized by our officer, that she is in the office, and they also get published every month in our website and also in regional newspapers as well. Online
okay.
or
because I think people need to know that it's not up to you to do things, it's also up to me.
Exactly. So this
it's
is
also up to me. That's the way advocacy works.
Mm-hmm. This is something that we need to promote in an essence more to get more reachability out to the citizens.
Okay. Chris, do you want to add some more stuff? Because I think advocacy, you're an advocacy coordinator. How have you used the service that this Andreas Federation office, that's Federation that Andreas works with office?
First of all, since they are an ally, we have a close collaboration, and we also traveled with one of Andreas's colleagues to Croatia for a study visit for Respect Watch, in which we examined know-how and good practices to be able to transfer these in Cyprus. So together with OSAC and their observatory, I mean, their observatory is referred as a good practice because it monitors, and since we had no structured mechanism to track and report, this didn't allow us to have scientific reports to use for advocacy. So in order to have advocacy, you also need the scientific approach as well as the and users' voices. So the combination of these, being a grassroots organization, both of our organizations are grassroots. So by having these and by having the expertise of the nursing department of TEPAC in Limassol, as well as Mediterranean Institute of Gender Studies, for at least for respect, but these are our allies.
Allies.
Yes. I mean, we work together every day. We have collaboration and communication every day. Through this collaboration, we realized this critical gap. While advocacy and research were growing, at least for respectful maternity care, there was no structured mechanism to track and report instances of disrespect and abuse in maternity care. And this is where Respect Watch comes in. So Respect Watch was developed as a watchdog mechanism to collect data, statistics, and real-life reports on maternity care experiences. This will take off some of the workload of the patients' association as well, because at the moment they are also receiving complaints in regards to respectful maternity care in their observation mechanism. So working together can actually lead to great results. So at the moment, we are actually forming our platform, I mean digital-wise, with our IT. And it's in order to collect data, statistics, as I said, and real-life reports. It's important because without data, mistreatment remains invisible. You need to have tangible data.
And also without data, mistreatment is a theory.
Exactly.
Unless you've got real stories from real people, it's only then you can actually go and say, this happened, and it hasn't happened once. It's happened to 500 people. So you really need those real life stories to go forward.
Exactly. And Respect Watch gives both women and healthcare professionals a structured way to report and analyze care quality, helping to push for policy changes. This is what OSAC has taught us.
So, Andrea, I think you wanted to comment?
Yes, I wanted to comment this. I mean, I know it's a common say. I mean, we are as strong as our members' organization are. We are strong together. I mean, we represent their voices. So without them, we wouldn't be here. And just to make it more clear is this, I mean, the structure of how patient organizations works and the federation, it's like a pyramid. I mean, we have at the bottom of the pyramid, we have the member organizations that they are dealing with a specific condition or a specific issue. Then you have
a specific sector.
Exactly. Then you have the national body, which is in this case is the Cypriot Federation of Patient Association, which represent all the members organization in Cyprus. And then we have also the European Patients Organization, which is based in Brussels, that represent all the national bodies of each member state, which at the moment, which is called the European Patients Forum, and represents more than 150 million voices in Europe. So we're talking about huge numbers, and we are as strong as they are. And it's basically with those success stories that we use and we implement in our daily life to get results and to prove why data provided by patients are needed. Not were reserved, they are needed.
Yes, they're essential. It's essential to have that data because you're talking real. And then how do you turn it into policy? Now, how do you advocate to try and turn it into policy?
So as we mentioned earlier, I mean, the Cypriot Federation at the moment, I mean, our board of directors It's two members of each member organization. We have at the moment 84 member of board of directors, and of those 84 that represent all the members, the seven are elected as the executive committee, which is the president, vice president, etc. So we have day-to-day communication with our members and see of what their problems are and what they are doing in the national policy level, and we take it up to the higher policy level, which is directly also to the Minister of Health and the President of the Democracy as well.
Okay.
If I can put this in like a sentence, is mm-hmm. that we believe that a real change happens when you move from individual stories to systemic accountability. Something we lack in Cyprus, and that's why we urgently need mechanisms or observatories such as Respect Watch or OSACS Observatory.
True. And also, these observatories are also a prequel to, let's say, prequel or a pre-mechanism for the national bill that is going to pass in the parliament soon, and it's called the Patient Advocate Commissioner bill, that it will establish a third authority, which will have he or she will receive all the complaints that patients are having through their day-to-day activities in any healthcare provider. Because under the bill, every healthcare provider must have an officer, a patient rights officer at their space. So any patient can have direct access to that officer and make their complaint or statement regarding the service that they have received.
Can I ask you, this healthcare commissioner, mm-hmm. is this a de facto piece of legislation, or is it still in public consultation stage?
No, it's past the public consultation phase. It's directed to the parliament for voting in the next 1 or 2 months.
Are you happy? Because I know that I've been in a few processes that technically were public, went through the public consultation. Do you feel that the public consultation was a real public consultation? And I'm being provocative because mm-hmm. we've seen the opposite happening, that they actually sent out a memo, one replied, and mm-hmm. it went.
I know. And I mean, we have been discussing this for the last 2 to 3 years in order to happen. It was one of the bills that the current president of Democracy said that he will pass it on. It became a lot of discussion, and we ended all happy together. Patients, the medical rights associations, HIO, and private sector, they are happy with the current bill that is being going to pass on. Just to mention that the Commissioner of Patient Rights, the Patient Advocate, it's called, doesn't have any legal authority to give any penalties or back to the providers. So this is something that it was the key thing that it was discussed and accepted, because it's going to use the name and shame more thing. So he will provide every 6 months a record back to the community, etc.
I think what Magda was focused on consultation, which mm-hmm. lacks in Cyprus in general. I'm not talking only about this piece of legislation, but also we should also have in mind that commissioners, their job is to provide guidelines, not to mm-hmm. give penalties. So, yes. I mean, the philosophy behind it is actually correct. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Tell me, were you happy with the public consultation, Chris? Were you part of it, the public I'm just interested because I've been through a lot of them, and I'm interested to hear ones that actually worked, the public consultation.
I was not part of the particular one, but I was part of other consultations, and I'm not happy at all. It's one of the things that I always bring up to policymakers.
Mm-hmm. that the process of a public consultation.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I was at a meeting the other day, and apparently legislations or potential legislations are available online, and you're given a time period that you can actually contribute, but no one actually knows this process.
Yes, it's called...
That's quite a hidden...
It's called e-consultation. While I was trying to create a profile, I didn't manage. I don't know why. But then I called the Ministry of Justice, and within 3 days I managed. And I submitted...
3 days only?
Yes. And I submitted my comments. However, when I asked specific members of the parliament if they have received my comments on specific sections, they said no. So I don't understand why they asked me to do this and spend this much time if they're not going to go through it. I mean, if it's not the member of the parliament's fault. It's the person who is supposed to transfer this information. Yes.
Now, I agree with you. This is the reason I'm bringing this up is because during this meeting, this is what I understood, that the mechanism technically exists, mm-hmm. but it's either the person, the job of their, they each have a political assistant, mm-hmm. each of the MPs. Someone is not transferring the knowledge and someone is not picking up this knowledge. So I'm glad to hear, Andrea, that everyone involved is happy with this public health advocate, and hopefully it goes through. And I also agree that this is guidelines. This is something that we've got to be happy with, the way this person actually operates. But ultimately, you do need the legislative power as well. You do need them to have decision-making.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, there is room for improvement, a lot, actually.
Well, as long as the first step is mm-hmm. fairly okay,
yeah.
it's a first step, and then you can mm-hmm. take it further. Tell me a little bit more about Respect Watch. How long is this a project intended to last? I think it's, when did it start? Give me the timeline of the actual project.
It actually ends next month in April, end of April. Mm. So it was a one-year project. So at the moment, we are focusing on turning data into action. Collaborating with stakeholders to ensure that Respect Watch isn't just a reporting tool, but is a catalyst for change. This is what we have been talking about. The goal isn't to create opposition between women and healthcare providers, but to build a system where respectful care is a standard and not an exception. From my understanding, it's a win-win for everyone involved in maternity care, and it's something we can achieve all together. Whether you're a parent, a healthcare professional, or a policymaker, we all have a role in making maternity care safe, dignified, and respectful for everyone. So with this platform, it will be launched by next month. Its sustainability will stay with the organization, and it's once more a great example of how NGOs
can make a difference.
Yes, and also fulfill duties of the state.
Okay, that's another big question. So you're saying this platform that you're in the process of creating will then remain the responsibility of Birth Forward?
Yes, it will be under birthforward.com/watchdog. It's actually it's already created, but since it's under construction, you cannot view it. It's only being offline for us to go around, use it, play around, and see how it flows. But it's expected to be up in about 2 weeks.
And you're saying to me that once this platform is in place, you will then be passing on information to Andras's organization. How will the platform actually work?
Actually, we will be keeping information for statistical reasons. Of course, with the patient's organization, we exchange know-how and statistics pretty frequently, so we can also have a cross-check with their observatory if something has been through twice, let's say, which doesn't mean that we only record once, we record twice, because in the case of OSAC, women are end users of the healthcare system. And in the case of Birth Forward, we record anything that has to do with disrespect in maternity care.
Okay, so it will be a continued collaboration and an exchange of information and data.
Of course.
Of course.
Birth Forward also hopes that at some point the state will undertake the sustainability of the platform, since we believe it's a duty of the state. But since they did not do it, we are here to do it for them.
I find that it happens with a lot of the NGOs. I think SPAV was another one that a lot of NGOs are called upon to fulfill duties that the state should be doing automatically. And SPAV has put themselves in quite a strong position now. Hopefully, going forward, the state will be able to help Birth Forward continue to keep this platform sustainable, because we all know in NGOs that a lot of good ideas fall apart because of lack of money.
Yes. To be fair, we have a very good collaboration with the Office of the Commissioner for Gender Equality. She's very interested in the subject, and she also invited us to submit our proposals for the national strategy that is under her office. So in a sense, I can feel that we are in a more positive pathway than a negative pathway.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Andrea, and you're going to say something?
Yes, and if not, that if not any help with, financial, that's why we're here as well, to push things with the current government and any governments that will come for these projects, that we really see the meaning of it and the helpfulness of it, to continue be supported. And Magda, as you mentioned earlier, indeed, there is a lot of programs that NGOs are doing, which it should have been under the state. I mean, services that the state should have provided, but unfortunately they don't. And if they see the actual value of those projects and what is not just the numbers, but if you see just the numbers, they save a lot of money because of the work that NGOs are doing.
But if you put it as a general issue, if governments realized how much an investment into gender-based violence, and obstetrics is one of them, if they actually invested in that correctly, bottom line is that they would save money in the bigger picture of budgets.
Of
it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And they really need to understand that it's not these pregnant women fighting for their rights. It's really a much bigger issue, because it's violence. It's like a domino. It's like throwing a pebble into the lake, and it continues to cost money invisibly and visibly. So governments need to learn that investing in things like this saves their money. Long term, it saves their money.
I can give you a great example with this. Cyprus is among the first European countries with the highest cesarean rates. And we know that, it's not the cost of money, but it is something that we should also take into account. And we should also take into account awareness among women on how they can prepare to give birth. Giving birth,
but cesareans should not. It should be a choice. It not should be the only choice, because giving birth with an anesthetic, going under anesthetic and necessarily is very challenging to your health.
Actually, yes. We have the negative first. We are the first. I mean, we are the top country in the European Union that we have. I mean, the proportion of cesarean is much higher than the physiological. The physical birth, and we are at the risk of our doctors not seeing enough national births, and they don't have that experience.
And also, usually the cesarean is because your doctor told you it was safer.
Yes.
He's not telling you, and he's telling you it's safer because you can do it in office hours. Mm-hmm. And it's all for the wrong reasons.
And one of our
cesarean should only be if lives are at risk. It shouldn't be because it suits my, well, I want my child to be a Leo and not a Libra, whatever. It should be because it's and frivolous. It should be because either the child or the mother or both lives are at risk that a cesarean should happen.
I mean, if you see the statistics, there is a laughable condition at the moment and data that there are not as many births in August like it was 5 to 10 years ago.
And you can't guess why. Summer holidays.
Of course. Kids in Cyprus don't come during summer holidays, Christmas holidays. No, it's prior to the 15th of August or after the 25th.
Well, I must have been a nightmare. I was born on Christmas Eve. My mother didn't plan it properly.
But was it in Cyprus?
No, it wasn't. And it was a long time ago.
There you go.
And my brother was born 2 days after Christmas. So she had a good gynecologist.
The point is for women to have all the information for them to make autonomous decisions.
Informed.
Mm. Yes. And
she might choose to have a cesarean, but it's got to be her choice for the right reasons, an informed choice.
Exactly.
It's got to be an informed choice.
And in our days, it's a matter of politics as well. I mean, we've seen governments disregarding the autonomy of bodies of people, especially women. And we have policies for, let's say, banning abortion. And I think that activists and NGOs have a very important role in this to play.
Very important role.
We are advocates for policy changes, and we are here to represent women and all vulnerable populations to be able to enjoy fully their human rights as we do.
Chris, do you have a cat?
No, I have a dog.
That's why I can hear a little bell every now and again. Doesn't matter. Your dog is keeping us company.
Yeah.
But let's give credit where credit is due. We do have a fairly successful health system and a general healthcare system that is available to a lot of people, and it usually works well. It's just sometimes information, it's a case of information being given to the patient at the time for them to make the right decision. But we do have a system, we've got to give credit to the government health system because it has made a lot of our lives easier.
For sure.
And accessible.
And
accessible.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I went in, I was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor in COVID. And I thought, and the tumor I had, in the four cases of this tumor, three were women. Mm-hmm. And so it predominantly affects women. And I thought my first thing was not, well, I've got a brain tumor, what's going to happen? My first thought was, how fortunate am I to be in a country that offers me healthcare, and the emergency room cost me because I went to the Apollonian at the time. But beyond that, everything else was free. And I was given good information. The doctors at the time all gave me good information. So we are blessed, most of us, to live in this country in a system that works for us. And we also need to say that, do you want to speak about the funding? Because we need to give credit to the funders, Chris.
Yes, of course. the funders, if we don't have funders, we don't do anything.
Exactly.
So it's under the NGO Support Center and Podosagi Foundation. They are funding the whole of the project of RespectWatch as well as the platform.
Oh, good. So it actually ran parallel to the Respectful Maternity Care.
Yes.
It ran parallel for the last year. Okay.
Yes, because of the findings. Because we used the questionnaires for women who gave birth for the last 5 years in Cyprus. And the findings showed that we urgently needed a mechanism to monitor and to be able to report accordingly.
Okay. And I think we need to again remind listeners, whoever's going to listen to this, that the health care you get is also in your hands, because there is a way to report suggestions or complaints, and those complaints can then be categorized and used as data to advocate for a change. So it is the government that has to be accountable, but it's also in each and every one of us's we have the power to also change, because one person does make the difference. So remember, putting in a complaint doesn't necessarily mean a complaint. It makes the system aware. It makes the Patient Rights Federation aware, who can then advocate for something, for changes.
Exactly. And it's a blessing, as you said, to have the general healthcare system. And it's our job to make it better, through data, through scientific reports, and we are here to help to make the healthcare.
Oh, sorry, please.
And to protect it, exactly.
Because there is corruption in that system as well.
Yes.
We won't even go that way.
But it's also our Cypriot nature for misuse of the general health system.
I don't think it's necessarily only Cypriot. I think people always like to squeeze through loopholes or back doors or whatever. Yeah. But I agree with you. We need to protect it, and we need to make not use it, help it get better.
Yes.
We need to comment and suggest make it better.
And also, if I can give a quick comment on the national health system, don't listen to that. It's not going to be viable, the collapsion of the general health system. The general health system is viable, and it will stay here. And I mean, the recent statistics show that up to 2035, it is fully viable. The thing is, we need to protect it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that really positive comment, because we do get these things about it's corrupt and it's ready to collapse. So,
yeah.
We also need to protect it, and as patients, make sure that your doctor's doing the right thing.
And also, just a small note for regarding maternity care. Under the general healthcare system, all women are allowed or entitled to 6 meetings with midwives in order to prepare or get support for or while giving birth.
And that is a first. It's quite new, because in the past, doulas or midwives were not considered medical practitioners. Yeah. But now it's becoming more, not popular is the wrong word, more acceptable is the right word.
Yes. And there is a great role for the midwife in the process. I'm not an expert in this, but we collaborate with midwives. So maybe in another podcast, you can host midwives and scientific professionals.
No, I like the idea of midwives, but I think the midwives, in a way, gives a more personal slant to...
Yes.
Being pregnant and giving birth. It's not as clinical as it is, but to each his own. But we mustn't diss midwives just because they don't have a PhD medical degree.
But Magda, maybe a good idea would be to not just midwives, other healthcare professionals. They fall under that category. Other healthcare professionals, which is really important that we have them in the system, like podiatricians, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a broader healthcare. Mm-hmm. It's not just the ones, the traditional ones or the conventional ones that we've heard until now. It's broadening it, because healthcare has changed, and healthcare is more information, knowing more about what's wrong with your body or how to help look after your body, than just going to your general practitioner and getting information. and if they give you the right information.
And it's also important here to state that our midwives in Cyprus, in order to be midwives, they graduate from nursing school and then they do midwifery for 2 years. So in regards of having specialized professionals, we do have this.
But I think the midwives are not given, or a lot is not known of how they qualify. I think that's the, and if you put midwife and doula together, they hear the word doula. Doula comes from the Middle Ages. So I think that's where the misconception about their value or their qualifications come. So I'm glad you brought it up. And I'm glad, Andrea, you've mentioned the fact that we need to step beyond the traditional healthcare. We need to have it a more holistic. Mm-hmm. More holistic. Everyone mm-hmm. needs to be included because every patient is different.
Mm-hmm. And to change the health literacy.
Exactly.
Evolve. Let's not change. Evolve.
Yes, it's got to grow. It's mm-hmm. got to grow with the times and with the needs. Okay, we've come to the end of this podcast. Is there anything you would like to say before we close? Andrea?
I mean, from my side, Magda, I would like to thank you for having us today in this lovely discussion. It was really a pleasure to meet you, e-meet you in a way. We are here, I mean, the Cyprus Federation of Patient Association, we are here for any needs that any citizen in Cyprus may need regarding their health care provision in Cyprus. And Magda, whenever you need us, we are here.
And I'm expecting the link for people that want to submit complaints or suggestions.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea. Chris?
Thank you also for having us. It was a wonderful discussion, a great morning, to be honest. I'd love to hear from anyone who wants to be part of this movement of respectful maternity care, whether a parent, a healthcare professional, a policymaker, we all have a role in this, and also activists such as Magda giving us space and time to express people's voices. Thank you for this conversation. I'm excited to continue to raise awareness and to make a real impact.
And Chris, where would they get hold of you? Through the email, or
We are very active on our social media. You can either contact us through Facebook, Instagram, or also visit our website, get hold on the phone. We accept any kind of communication. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chris and Andrea. I must admit, I agree with you, Christina. This was a really interesting morning. It was lovely to connect with you both. And I agree with you. We are grateful for the healthcare system that we've got, but we need more informed, we need more information. The patient's needs need to be put top of the list. So we need the patients to tell us what they need and the healthcare practitioners to be listening and the policymakers to be accountable for anything that goes wrong. So thank you both.
Thank
and
you.
Here's moving forward to a healthier and more informed world.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks, open, diverse, free.